This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour on Cody and Gold. Our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid in just a moment. He is speaking to the media also. Same thing will apply to Patrick Mahomes. We were joking off air because I got an email.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our boss has been doing a contest. Roxanne has been doing a contest for Chiefs trivia during the day.
You know, it's game week.
Yeah. So for the staff. And so she'll send out a question and you can respond to the email. I looked, I got an email and I saw that you responded.
That's correct.
And you won. And
that is also correct.
I looked at the timing of
very
that.
Very good for me.
I looked at the timing of that. It means you were when Drew and I were hard at work during the segment, you were emailing the boss to win a contest.
I'm running around in the back.
Drew's
getting
working
stuff,
his ass off.
I can do more than one thing.
I'm talking to Eitan Shander, and you're just entering contests in the middle of the segment. Okay.
Jeez.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure none of you have ever sent a text out during this. Well, they already said the team photo's at 10:15 tomorrow. They're excluding me. Well, that's what it said. Team photo, 10:15. I'm already being excluded from something because I can't win contests.
Notifications on team photos.
I'm going to run down there tomorrow at 10:15. You guys have to hold the fort down. I don't want to be in the photo, you know?
Since I won the contest, you could be in the
photo. All right, let's go out to New Orleans and hear from Andy Reid.
Guys, so much and them being willing to share with others. And it's not only the experience of coming to this, but it's... you know, when we had injuries, guys welcome guys in, and even though it might be your position, welcome them in and try to get them up to date and help us to win football games.
Right. In Mexico, you have a lot of fans. The Chiefs are very popular, and they're very focused on that. You make a record for Chiefs, for both in the role. What represents to you in your mind and your heart that you have the game versus Philadelphia, and you were the coach for Philadelphia for many years?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's unique for sure, and really unique to have it gone on twice here. So, but I have a lot of respect for the people in Philadelphia, how they run things, the city itself. And at the same time, I feel very fortunate to be in Kansas City with our ownership and our front office and how it works there. So I would tell you, from my standpoint, I feel very lucky, honored, privileged, all those words. I feel, you know, that I'm very fortunate to be in this position. Yeah. I'll be curious to, when we get to the owner meetings, to kind of see how it played out and with the injuries and get that update and you know, some of the things that the league was trying to accomplish with it. So, and see if they have anything that they want to change. But it's different. It's been kind of exciting to have something new like that incorporated in the game. But I'm hoping that, you know, to see what, if the league got from it what they wanted to.
All right, so Andy Reid's talking to New Orleans. We're going to switch to a better feed here in just a second, and we'll go back out there right now.
Yeah, they're fast, so they recover quickly. The idea in screen game is to try to get the guys to rush up the field, thinking it's a pass, and then dump it down with some blockers out there in front to kind of mix the run game, pass game all in one play. But these guys, they don't get caught up too much on the screen game. They're able to recover quickly.
Go over here. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's a great one, and that was a great little nugget he threw out there with his saying. And but that's a different sport, you know. That's the direction he went with it, and that's not the only thing that made him great. But that was a great prediction there and challenge. I think you guys have taken care of all that for me. I don't have to say much. So other than get ready to play the game.
Jeff.
That means I'm old. Jeremiah was, his father was one of my favorite players. And this kid, his son has done a tremendous job of, did it at Clemson and now transferred it to the Eagles. And I think it's a neat deal. He's wearing the same number, all that. Yeah, that's a great deal. Great deal for the family. Yeah, sure. So Xavier, I tell you, first of all, he's not the biggest guy in the world, and for him to survive through 17 games in the National Football League and then the couple playoff games that we've had, I think is an accomplishment just in itself. But every week that he's done this thing, he's gotten better every week. And he and Pat have a great relationship, so he's got Pat's trust. And that takes a little bit of time to get and work, and with any quarterback in this league with a young receiver. So, but he's done that, and that's through hard work. Oh boy. I don't know that. I mean, time will tell, right? Ask me that after the game. I'll let you know.
But, Coach, over here, the fact that you get to face off against Vic Fangio again, your coach, how you think is it any
back at the Super Bowl in New Orleans when you won your first Super Bowl? Yeah, that's something. I mean, coincidental for sure. Great city, New Orleans is. Facing Vic Fangio, we've faced him at Denver, Miami, and the Eagles in the same year. I feel like we've gone against each other a lot for for a lot of years here. And we're fortunate to have Steve Spagnuolo, but I tell you that Vic is one of those guys. He's just one of those real creative defensive minds that survived a long time in this league. He's been time tested, and he has the trust of his players there.
This hasn't been an easy year offensively for the injuries of all the wide receivers. What kind of kept you guys going through and
why would you back up the ball? Yeah, a little bit of what I was saying with veteran players, allowing these guys to become the best they could be at that in that short period of time. So within the offense and defense. Then the other part of that, which is huge, is Brett Veach and the job that he did on bringing players in, he and his crew there, so, and the personnel department. He has done an exceptional job. I mean, he's done it since he's been in that position, and no more than this year.
Up here, go.
I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer that. I don't, which character would I be out of the? I don't even. I'm myself.
Second round.
Yeah, that's not part of it. That I enjoy teaching, so I don't get caught up too much on all the stats and all that, all the records and all that stuff. But I enjoy being around the guys. I enjoy football, the game. You can't put in the hours that we do and not enjoy it. I love the game. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I'll be back. I'm glad he's going to have me back. I mean, yeah.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
I see the Kansas City Chiefs is a very stable organization. We see another successful teams moving their coordinators, defensive coordinators, to other teams. What do you guys manage to avoid to keep, for instance, Spagnuolo from being with you guys many years?
Yeah, that's a real good question. I thought we would. He and Nagy might move on this year and be head coaches again. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. I mean, I don't know the answer. The owners know that and what they're looking for. But I'm glad that, selfishly, I'm glad that they're with us right now. And hopefully they stay for a long time, yeah. Yeah, I mean, every game has got its own challenges in it. And the thing is, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low in a game. You want to kind of find that area where you keep a steady climb. If something bad happens, try to learn from it and move on. But every game's got that. And every game's a little bit different. So we've doinked them in. We've blocked field goals. We've done, so whatever comes up, I'm sure our guys will handle and move forward in a positive way. Yeah.
We'll do a couple more. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Coach Anthony.
Good seeing you.
All right. Hey, how important was it for Patrick to sit that first year and learn before you all handed him the keys to the operation?
Yeah. I'm not saying he couldn't have been as great as he is now if he didn't sit, but be with Alex Smith, I thought, was something that you can't buy. And he was able to sit there and watch a guy that's the ultimate professional on and off the field and just get an idea of the lay of the land of how things work in this league. And I think that's helped him in that part of his, in his career. But I'm sure if he stepped in and as a rookie and played, he probably would have been just as great as he is now. But I think that helped for sure.
Last one, go ahead.
Coach, can you talk briefly about Kareem Hunt? He was, left Kansas City a number of years ago, came back 4 games into your season this year, and so far has filled in, the number of injuries he'll have. Great year.
Yeah, Kareem's he's a good kid and had a great career at Cleveland, and we were able to. That was a good question. He left. Anyways, I got you. Moving fast, covering a lot of bases. He did a nice job. I joke that we just pulled him off the couch and threw him in there. I think he had 21 plays the first game, 27 the next game, and we kind of beat him up there without any introduction. So But he sure handled it well, and he's having a good time. This is his first time at the Super Bowl, and as a player, and that's one of the neat stories there.
All right, so that's Andy Reid speaking here on a Tuesday in New Orleans. We think we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a second as well. Andy Reid confirmed what Clark Hunt said this morning on Fesco and Dusty from New Orleans, which is that Andy Reid's coming back next year. I don't know anybody in Kansas City was all that concerned about that, but if you wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, if you will, Andy Reid basically confirmed that as well. And remember, he just signed an extension this past offseason.
We knew Andy was coming back, yeah, so this isn't surprising. Awesome moment that a guy asked a question then just left.
How about that? At the
end of that is incredible.
To just ask the question and you're like,
well, see you later. Don't actually care about the answer, coach. Just felt like I was supposed to ask something.
All right, Patrick Mahomes is speaking to the media in New Orleans right now on 96.5 The Fan.
You take a couple things, just because they're a lot of the same players. I mean, obviously they have new players, but a lot of the same players, a lot of the same coaches. But you have to learn from what they've done this season, obviously. And so you look at the tape, you get what you can from that, and then you move on to what they've done this season.
Hey, Pat, what's your impression of Jalen Hurts and what he's been able to do with his offense this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's extremely talented. I mean, I saw it firsthand in the last Super Bowl that we played, and I think what the best thing about him is he's a winner. He knows how to win football games, and if that's throwing the football, if that's running the football, whatever it takes, in order to be great in this league, you have to find ways to win football games.
Patrick, 17 straight games, one possession wins.
I think the best thing we do is just we compete to the very end. It doesn't matter how the game looks from the beginning to the end. We're just going to find a way to get the win. And if that's why one possession or about two possessions, whatever it is, we're just going to find a way.
Patrick, you were not spoken about your Christian faith. Who is Jesus to you?
Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It's someone that I look up to every single day to decide what I want to do with my life and how I want to live my life. And so Jesus is everything to me at the end of the day. I don't know about this season, but I always lean on Acts 27 through 12 about a boy named Eutychus and his faith and him listening to a sermon and falling and dying and coming back to life. And it just spoke to me at that moment of how I need to live my life and how I need to be fully invested in God. Yeah, Super Bowl is always top of the top, you know, and to be able to have this opportunity to be in this game is always special. And so we're just going to go out there and lay it all on the line. I mean, we've worked so hard to be in this game, and I'm proud of my teammates. We're one win away from going out and completing history, so I'm excited for it.
How do you feel, Patrick? You are already considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. How does that
I just want to be remembered as one of the greatest teams of all time at the end of the day, and I know how blessed I am to be in Kansas City and the people that I have around me, coaches and players. And so I'm more focused on leaving an imprint on the Kansas City Chiefs and how we are remembered for the rest of time. Not at all. I mean, I just go out there and play the game that I love at the end of the day. And so I know people gamble on the game and everything like that. But at the end of the day, I play football for the love of it. And that's what I always will do. I think it gets people watching. I think that's good for the sport. But at the end of the day, I want people to realize that it's a game that you play on the playground for recess. And the stuff that you just go out there and give everything you love. And I think that's what we got to do on the football field. And I think that's everybody on that football field.
Many of us have gotten to cover you.
I think just after the games, when I look back on seasons, I get emotional just because of the process, the hard work that you put in. Win or lose, guys give everything that they have, and every team's different. I mean, we have a lot of the same guys that have been on these Super Bowl runs with us, but at the same time, from my first Super Bowl to now, I think it's only like 3 to 5 guys that are on that team. And so no matter how the season ends, you're going to be a different football team, and you just embrace and really have those moments together as a team, and I think that makes you a little emotional.
And you talked last night about
Yeah. Yeah, I think just it's just the grind of every single day of having to start from the bottom and then work your way back to the top. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be in this game, and that's why I don't take it for granted. And it speaks to the guys that I have around me that they're willing to go back to work, start from the beginning, work their tail off again to make it to this game. And so I think the fans know that, but until you experience it on a day-to-day process, you never really appreciate it. I think you just have to have a process of how you go about every single play, and there's certain checkpoints that I need to do as far as to recognize the coverage or recognizing what we need to do as an offense and just getting us to the best opportunity to be successful. And then you just play the football game. At the end of the day, it's a football game. It's a game that you played growing up. You just make it about that moment. You make it about that play, and you just execute your job. I just, as I've learned in this league, it's all about winning at the end of the day. It doesn't matter how it happens. It doesn't matter if it's dissecting the coverage before the play, getting us to a run play, or running with your legs, or throwing the football. It's just about winning the football game. And at the end of the day, that's what the ultimate goal is. And so that's what I've tried to do, especially at this part of my career, is even though that the stats might not be as flashy as they were in my first year, we've won a lot of football games, and I'll always be proud of that.
Patrick, 6 years ago.
I don't know if it motivates me. I think I'm so motivated by just the success that we have together as a team. I know that the guys on our team, how much they love football and how much work they put in on every single day basis. And so when we step on that football field, we're going to come together as a brotherhood and as a family and just play our best football and live with the results after. So it's not like I'm embracing the villain or doing anything like that. I'm embracing my teammates and how we play the football game. Oh, yeah, that happens a lot. I mean, that's where interceptions happen. So, no, it's these guys are talented on that side of the football, and they study film and watch plays just like we do. And so there's definitely times where the defense it gets me on certain plays or certain blitzes or certain coverages, and you just have to learn from those and try to be better the next time. What? Yeah, I think just how talented they are. I mean, they're talented at all three levels, D-line, linebackers, and secondary. And they know how to play well together. I mean, that's what makes Vic Fangio's defenses so great is that everybody has a part, and they have to do their job in order for everybody to have success, and that's what they do. And if they're asked to play man, they play man well. If they're played zone, they make sure to be in the right spots at the right time. And so it'd be a great challenge. You got to be patient, and when those opportunities come, you got to go out there and execute on them because there'll only be a few of them in the game.
What part of your game are you most proud of the improvement that you've made since your first Super Bowl?
I think just being able to feel the tempo of a game and feel how the game flow is going. I feel like when I was younger, I wanted to just make the big play happen the whole game. And I obviously still want to do that, but whenever the defense is playing well or the offense, we're struggling a little bit. It's about getting us back in rhythm, getting us back in tempo so that the big plays kind of come to us and we're not trying to force them. Yeah. Yeah, it's always motivating whenever you have another baby. I mean, just because I want them to have the same experiences that the other two have. And she's been amazing. She's been sleeping well. Mom's been extremely happy. And I'm excited for her to be able to come to. I think this will be her first football game at the Super Bowl. And hopefully we can get her a win.
Say that again?
I don't know. If I play, I was in Long Island with the Mets, but he played on the Long Island Ducks. So when he was there, I definitely spent some time in Long Island. I was a little bit older too then, so I remember a couple of things. But the games were awesome. They had a lot of fans in the stands, and that some of that independent baseball and that he played at the end of his career was kind of some of my favorite moments.
Everybody seems to want a piece of you. How many autographs would you estimate you signed?
I mean, I can't even – a lot. I would just say a lot of them. But, I mean, that's what it's – that's a part of it. I was the little kid asking for autographs for my dad. So I'm always – especially for the kids and the kids that want to live out their dream and are looking for some inspiration, I always will sign those autographs for them.
What's the strangest request you've ever had?
I signed some man's like back because he had a tattoo of me on his back, and I got kind of cornered into where I had to do it. That was a pretty strange one. I think it's just the guys that we have in our locker rooms have such an appreciation for the process and how hard it is to get to the Super Bowl. And so with that, we start from the beginning. We don't just rely on what got us there the year before. We really go back to ground zero, and we work our tail off just to be the best that we can be, and knowing that it's going to be a hard process. It's going to be a hard journey to get back to the Super Bowl. And so when you have a bunch of guys like that, it kind of fuels you to be the best you can be every single day.
Anything is.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes speaking to the media. Some other players are talking. If anything note comes out of that, we'll certainly bring it to you as we continue our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. We'll react a little bit to what Andy Reid and Mahomes had to say. Plus, we'll get back into this Eagles team. We had a guest on from Philly. We'll replay his answer, at least fill you in on that. How does this Eagles team stack up compared to the prior teams the Chiefs have faced during this run over the last 6 years, really, at this point in time? That's up next during the Chiefs Run Half.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We heard from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid over the last 25 minutes or so. Andy Reid, one thing of note that we mentioned throughout kind of the last week or so is how healthy they are. He acknowledged no new injuries. There's no injuries to report for this team. That hasn't changed. Remember, they'll practice at Tulane there in New Orleans. That's where they're practicing, as the AFC, NFC have the rotation each year, right? The home team, which is the NFC this go-around, gets the NFL facility, so they'll be practicing at the Saints' indoor facilities, presumably, and then the Chiefs at Tulane. Just like a year ago, the Chiefs had the quote-unquote better practice facility. This is the normal rotation. It's just kind of how this thing goes.
How you do it. There's not enough space. Don't you remember last year they were complaining, like, yes, we want to practice on your field, and we're like, no.
The 49ers were wanting to.
How this works. Do your own thing.
The 49ers thought the field was too soft or something. I can't remember what it was, and then the facility.
That's exactly what it was. They thought it was too soft, too squishy.
That's right. Squishy was.
They
the
sound
word.
Like that. That sounds like a toddler thing. Like, hey, will you try that food? I know you haven't had it before, but will you try? And they're like, too squishy. Not eating.
Yeah, the NFL said
the field was safe.
You know, the NFL said the field was safe. We'll talk about that later in the week. It's all jokes aside with the complaining of Philly a couple of years ago at the field, and then last year. The field they're going to play on, it's like a synthetic turf or whatever, which should be fast for Xavier Worthy. Should be nice.
Like that. And good for kicking.
It has the fifth most injuries, though.
Yeah. Well, dude, those kind of fields. So, like,
I was looking this up.
The key is, can you just get through one game without it impacting you? Because in a short-term sense, obviously, if a guy would be out for a week or two, you don't care. It's, can they just finish the game? Is all you care about in that point. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it could be another factor in this and another excuse making for somebody.
Coming up in the noon hour today, Nate Taylor, who's down in New Orleans, he's speaking to some players right now. We'll get the latest from him. Boots on the ground. Also, 1 o'clock hour, we'll go back out there, check in with Dusty. Of course, Fesco and Dusty, they're broadcasting live all week. So we'll get the scoop from him on what last night was, opening night. And then, of course, just what the plan is for today and everything, and find out what else stood out from his Mike Florio interview that they did on the show. But we asked Eitan Shander from Philly earlier. He's with Fox 29 there in Philadelphia. About this year's Eagles team compared to the one 2 years ago, and then the broader conversation about, like, is this the best team the Chiefs have faced? He said in comparison to the Eagles team from 2 years ago that this is the better team, and I do believe that to be the case. Specifically,
is it because of the offense? Obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. They had, to your
AJ
point,
Brown, Saquon.
They had the defensive line with the record sacks and everything 2 years ago. But I think it's a much better offense, even if they're not throwing as much. Barkley's just a generational type of player. Jalen Hurts is more experienced. But if we broaden it out, is this Eagles team the best they faced during this run? And we can include the loss to Tampa. That's fair. So go back to 2019, the 49ers Super Bowl in Miami, all the way up until this one. Where does this Eagles team stack up? I think if you're going to say it's not the best, I think it's potentially the second best. The Bucs one is so hard for me to judge only because the Chiefs were also injured. So, like, I have no idea with a healthy offensive line how they would have held up against that dominant front of Tampa. And it's the game they lost. So, like, that right away might just make them the toughest, because you're like, hey, they're the one that beat them. Yeah. So they were the toughest. And I get it.
I think it's the Bucs because of how good that defense was, how good that offensive line was, and just how good that offense was. They had Godwin. They had Evans. They had Gronk. They had Antonio Brown. They had a good run game. He had 40 touchdowns and 12 interceptions that season. And they had a lot of really good young defensive players. And Ndamukong Suh was an older one. But outside of that, right? I mean, it was
Vita Vea
and Devin White and a million other guys. It was just a dangerous team. If I'm taking out the loss because it feels like it skews my memory a little bit, I still think the Eagles team from 2 years ago is better. First starters, Jalen Hurts was better. He had 800 yards rushing, 3,700 yards passing, and scored a million touchdowns. And I know you're going to be like, hey, Saquon's having a career year. He is. Miles Sanders was great.
Yeah, but Saquon's
year.
Having like NFL historically great year.
But they had AJ Brown, who went for 1,500 yards. They had Devonta Smith, who went for 1,200 yards. I think they had a better Goddard probably at that time. A way better defense, in my opinion. And the Eagles have a number one ranked defense in points per game as it sits right now. So I'm not here to tell you that the Eagles defense stinks this year. That's obviously not the case. It just scared me more between Reddick and Sweat and Hargrave. It was deeper. Fletcher Cox was still in the league. They just had, I thought, more depth, more danger. I think that one 2 years ago is actually better than this year's team. Now, I mean, I still think what's funny is I think the 49ers teams might be last and second to last for me. Once I start ranking it out, I don't know why. It's probably because it's Brock Purdy and Jimmy G. The Jimmy G one's the worst. The first Super Bowl is the worst team they face in the Super Bowl.
The quarterback-wise, look, Tom Brady, of course, is the best quarterback during this run that the Chiefs have faced. It's not even close. I think that what we're forgetting a little bit, though, I know just saying the name out loud, it doesn't sound like the better quarterback at all this. And Jalen Hurts has been to two Super Bowls, and that in its own right gets you a new level of respect to go to two Super Bowls in 4 years. But Brock Purdy last year, heading in, I know it sounds nuts because they had a terrible season this year.
He's playing great.
Brock Purdy was legitimately in the MVP conversation a year ago.
Yeah, we mocked it a little, but he was technically
in
the conversation.
He was in it. Christian McCaffrey was having a great year. Again, sounds weird to say now, but let's remember where we were at that point in time and how we talked about that Niners team.
He's having like a Saquon year based on the yardage.
So that's the debate. I mean, that Bucs team that someone points out it's true, like in Vegas is not the end all be all, but the Chiefs were decent sized favorites against the Bucks going into that game. That's what's crazy. They were an underdog 2 years ago against Philly. Mm-hmm. They're a one and a half point favorite this year. Last year they were underdogs to San Francisco. So it's interesting how the line has shifted over the years. But Philadelphia, I think they're more experienced a wide receiver, even if they don't throw the ball more. And that's what it comes down to for me on Sunday as well, is do we think what we saw from Jalen Hurts against the Commanders is what he can do this go around? The Commanders defense sucks. I'm sorry. Like, great story. Jaden Daniels is going to be a stud in this league for
wretched
a long time.
Defense. Yeah.
But that defense is not good. The Chiefs are a massive upgrade on defense that they are going to face. It just is. And so can Jalen Hurts throw the ball around the yard, or is it going to be relying on Saquon, you know, busting out a 60 plus yard run, which is what he has done. Can Spags slow that down? Can they prevent the big 60 plus yard run? Eitan Shander, who joined us from Philly, his reason, and neither one of us mentioned this, but his reason was, hey, Vic Fangio is just a way better coordinator than what the Eagles had then. And the Eagles statistically were a better defense from a sack department. Overall, though, they're the number one pass defense in football this year. The Eagles are.
Yep,
and Vic Fangio is much better than Matt Patricia, who was the interim defensive coordinator they hired like week 10 of that season. It's kind of, I forgot about that when he brought it up. I was like, oh yeah,
they did.
That's right. Matt Patricia was actually the DC in the Super Bowl.
Like, I'll point out, and like to your point on the Christian McCaffrey end, I looked up Saquon Barkley's numbers. He had 2,283 total yards this year. Saquon Barkley had 20, or Christian McCaffrey had 2,100 2 years ago. So, I mean, I'm not like, I understand because like the rushing part, you're like 2,000 rushing. Christian McCaffrey is pretty dangerous in the old pass game.
Sure.
He was only 130, 150, whatever, maybe 200 yards off of the entire total from Saquon Barkley this year. So Christian McCaffrey was, I don't know if I would say equally dangerous, because he is having kind of a historic all-time year, but it wasn't that far off. He led the league in rushing and led the league in total yards and led the league, I think, in scrimmage touchdowns that year. So, I mean,
we're talking about two of the great running backs of our time. Now, Barkley, to me, is having a better season than even McCaffrey last year. But the gap, to your point, is not like ultra
wide. No, it's like 90% to 100% or 95 to 100. It's comparable.
The Chiefs, remember, McCaffrey in the Super Bowl last year, he had 80 yards on the ground. He had 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. So he touched the ball 30 times, McCaffrey did.
Had 160 yards, and they still lost.
Yes.
That took overtime.
So that's what will be something to watch with Barkley. It's not just as simple if Barkley gets 120 yards, it's game over. No. Can you prevent the fourth quarter, third quarter? You got him bottled up. He's got 80 yards rushing, and you're up by a touchdown or down three or whatever. Can you prevent all of a sudden the 65-yard touchdown run that just changes the entire game?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's burned everybody this year. Can Spags come up with something there? I think this defense, with the time and with the defense coordinator they have, the answer is yes. Saquon's not going to be held to 50 yards rushing, okay? But that's fine.
That seems unlikely.
He can have 110 yards and one touchdown as long as it's not a 60-plus yard touchdown run, you know, in the fourth quarter. Like, does that make sense? Like, he can have the touchdown and the yards. It is the back-breaking big gain that is just killer for these teams.
What's funny about them is you've got to remember here too, and their schedule was softer than Kansas City's, admittedly.
Yes.
They only lost one game from September 30th until the end of the season. So like, this is a team who just did what the Chiefs did, which is win, then win, then win, then win. And yeah, were some games a little too close? Did they play a close game against Cleveland or Jacksonville? Or, you know, sure, They even played a close game like against the Panthers, just like Kansas City. But this team just 1-1. Their only loss was against Washington, December 22nd, from September 30th until, and that's the only loss they have from the beginning of October until now.
So I respect Eitan Shander from Philly. I've known him for a while. I thought he was pretty honest with his description of what occurred 2 years ago, not blaming the refs even. And like, he's basically like, hey, it'll be out there, but he hates it. He has to remind Philly fans. Then our Odyssey sister station, WIP, who's in New Orleans. This name might ring a bell, maybe only because his name was relevant 2 years ago.
Not him again.
Elliot Shore Parks.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember what he was saying. I just remember the name, and so then we were all like,
2 years ago, right. He got his name out there by saying Jalen Hurts would be the more ideal quarterback than Patrick Mahomes to have on your team. Okay, ridiculous, that was the thing 2 years ago.
Okay.
Fast forward to yesterday, and I think he's going to be on with CDOT on Thursday. I think he'll be on CDOT's show. He tweeted out what is the most, I would say, the epitome of misleading, fuzzy math, funny numbers, however you want to describe it.
We already talked about this, you can play with numbers to create whatever you want.
I'll just read the tweet. Mm-hmm. The tweet says, Mahomes and Hurts are basically the same. Mahomes, after 5 seasons, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl ring, 58-16, 159 touchdowns. Hurts, after 5 seasons, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl ring, parentheses, if wins Super Bowl, LIX, 51-23 record, 157 touchdowns.
Okay.
There's obvious things we could all tell right out of the gate of why this is the most misleading stat. One,
he's erasing his rookie. He's counting his rookie season.
Well, one, he's counting Mahomes' rookie season. We all know he played one game. That's the problem, first and foremost. People do this with Josh Allen stats all the time, too. The other part is, I love how it's just already putting 1 Super Bowl ring, parentheses, if he wins Super Bowl 59, as if that's just like a no big deal to add to your resume. It's the most ludicrous, like, just using numbers to mislead people ever. And this is like a media gripe of mine. And you and I have done radio long enough now, and I understand it. Like, we've had bad takes before. That's nothing new. But like, nothing in the industry drives me more crazy. And this is not like saying I'm better than anybody. Like, I just don't know how I could get to this point, which is intentionally putting out numbers that you know are bleeping BS. Like, that stuff drives me crazy. Like, do you believe these crappy takes you're saying?
No.
Do you like
engagement?
I can also find numbers that I know are misleading, but just give me a bunch of likes on social media. That's all this crap is. It drives me crazy. He'll be on CDOT's show on Thursday if you want to listen to the ridiculousness from Elliot Shore Parks. He did this 2 years ago. Props. I guess the name of the game is get your name out there. This is my issue with Philadelphia. That's what he's doing.
If everyone thinks you're an idiot,
stupidity is what it is.
I understand I can get my name out there more if I just say insane things, but like, that's not the point. That's not the point. His 5 years as a starter, he's actually a 2-time Super Bowl champion with a gajillion more yards and a gajillion more touchdowns and everything else in between. I think I would liken this back to what we had said before, which is what I think is happening with all the ref stuff. Elliot is going to come on the station on Thursday. He's going to come on Carrington's show, and he's going to make it seem like he believes this. But you and I both know, when he goes to lay his head down on his pillow,
that's my point. Yeah,
he does not believe this to be true.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are the same. Yeah.
The other part, I would be very careful if I were Elliot Shore Parts in saying this is, you already, so like, if you're comparing 5 years and you're erasing his rookie year in which he didn't start, I'll remind you, Elliot, you already have the benefit of hindsight, my friend. You know that after those 5 years you're purporting, he won 2 more Super Bowls, is in a third, and threw for 1 million more yards. Do they give you like a better interview for being the beat reporter for the Eagles if you just make stuff up? You know, I gotta say, now that I'm looking at this, I mean, this all tracks based on our history of dealing with some people. Would you guess where he went to college?
We won't even have to say the school. We know.
Don't even have to say.
We know the school.
A shocker, it might be.
Mm.
What are you doing, Elliot? You don't have to do this, man. You don't have to do this. He was born, I just want to be clear, born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
That's fine.
He's delusional.
I got no problem. You and I are born and raised in Kansas City. That's not the issue. I have no problem with that. Support your team. I just get annoyed, clearly, with people that intentionally put out stuff they know
they don't believe.
They know is BS, especially when you're presenting numbers as if it's fact. And then they just do it. And you don't believe it. Like, for what? Someone said just to get a rise out of people. Sure, that. Or just to get
clicks. What kind of miserable personality is that?
And I understand. Look, we're in the entertainment business. Right? That's what we do for a living. I truly believe Cody doesn't do this either. Like, we have a ton of fun on this show. Cody has, obviously, moments where he, deep down, I don't think thinks all his songs are great or whatever, but he enjoys...
Oh, but I do think some are great.
But he does think some are
great.
I do genuinely think
some are great.
Like, we have takes. Like, I truly believe you feel the same. Like, if I have an opinion on the show, like, I truly believe it. You may think I'm an idiot, but I truly believe. Like, I don't put out stuff that I don't actually believe when I say it out loud. And this is, again, not trying to be like, oh my gosh, you know, Gold, you're acting like you're better than everybody. That is not what it is. I think Cody does the same thing as well. I don't get it. I've never understood. There's other people that I know in this business that do it, that I'm friends with. I don't get it. We're just intentionally doing that. And maybe that's why you and I are in Kansas City and we're not on a national network or something. I don't know. Maybe that's the case.
You know, we could do some things to really improve the quality of the show. And it starts with me saying crazy stuff. For instance, I think Kareem Hunt is better than Saquon Barkley. And really, this is just a product of the system. You know, Saquon's just the beneficiary of a good run system with a good running quarterback. And truthfully, if it was Kareem Hunt, he would have had 2,000 yards. We all believe that, right? I could just go to bed.
Well, no, you should put out a tweet right now. You should put out.
First 5 years of their career, and I'm going to look up what Kareem Hunt's rushing stats were for the first 3 years of his career.
No, you got
to
wait
to Saquon Barkley.
Somehow, if there's any chance after the Super Bowl, somehow, some way that Barkley is held in check and Kareem Hunt, in a miracle, ends up with more yards, then you can say Kareem Hunt, better Super Bowl performer than Saquon Barkley. They're better, therefore better running back, and just roll with that. And that's, you know, who's to debate it?
First, I mean, you know, and again, fun with numbers.
I mean, that means Damian Williams is like one of the best running backs
of
all time.
I think Damian Williams, best Super Bowl running back in NFL history.
Super Bowl.
Like, again, I don't believe that, you know, so and nobody
does.
Yes, you know,
obviously I do not think. Yeah, it's.
Anyway, I saw that as ludicrous. Then I remember this is the same guy. It's the same guy 2 years ago said Jalen Hurts was the more ideal quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. You know how stupid that is?
Someone said it's kind of like having a producer who loves the Bengals. No.
I actually believe
the Bengals. I am born and raised. I like the Bengals. I don't do this just as a facade.
To let it be clear, the first 2 years of their NFL career, dangerously close for old Saquon and Kareem Hunt.
Oh, my gosh. This is exactly what you're going to say.
You know, what are you going to do?
Compile a tweet right now,
Cody. What are you going to do? I'm actually going to quote tweet his.
Yes.
With whatever numbers I can manipulate
that
make Saquon's numbers look like Kareem months and then stack them next to each other in what is an unbelievable.
Someone said this should be your next punishment, Cody. We should have Cody needs to post something outrageous on Twitter. And this is the thing, though. The amount of
only one less career touchdown, you know, than Saquon. So
how much traction do you think a tweet from you guys could get? Because obviously you guys have some of the better following
Notice that tweet that came out only the two times where all of a sudden we've even known this person's name has been Super Bowl week. Because he knows it'll get traction Super Bowl week. That's all.
Yeah, that might be it. That might be it. It's also just like comparing any numbers and then just like pretending like somebody didn't miss an entire year or something, you know? Saquon never missed an entire year, I don't think, but you get the point. Well, Gold, you know,
he'll be on with Carrington Thursday.
Sometimes people
Elliot Shore Parks
say stuff to say, you know? They just look at all the times. First 5 years of their career, for those who want to know, Saquon Barkley, 4,249 yards. 29 rushing touchdowns. Kareem Hunt, 3,657 yards, 28.
There you go. Well,
he's almost there. He's almost there.
Just
that
as good.
I got to be honest, guys. That
pretty
sounds
similar.
Pretty close.
All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending as we continue our big game coverage. We'll also give you the best from opening night, including what Clark Hunt had to say, also what CJ Gardner-Johnson said to Fesco and Dusty, which was interesting, specifically the end of that interview. That's coming up next on 96.5 The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.